If you think about it, my wife will be traveling an 11-hour trip tomorrow. I'm sure she'd appreciate safe travels. And she'll be back Friday. And looking forward to her return. Things aren't the same. I was telling somebody, I guess it was Ray and Rachel, that sometimes I can handle the first day, 2 days, maybe she's gone. And it kind of like, ah, man, these cats just don't do it for me yet. And but she always wears this certain perfume, and a lot of times when I start getting really, like, oh, man, cast down, I told him, I said, I'll take a little bit of her perfume, put it on the tip of my finger, and put it right here under my nose in my mustache and walk around during the day smelling that. So we are on lesson number 12. Did anybody, I got a couple extras up here. Anybody need one that didn't get one, forgot one, or doesn't have one? There you go, Brother David. And we actually have this lesson here, and then two more will follow. We'll be done with three of the four studies, and then we will finish this out at the end of this month with a one Sunday or one Wednesday extra, which I'll just preach some single message, and then we'll start in May with the final 10 weeks of study on, which is known as the Power Series. And it's a really good study on prayer. And so we'll have a final 10 weeks of that there. We're talking about the practical prayer life, and the whole study, this whole 1 year that we've been going on, is based on when Jesus was talking in Matthew 26, when he came, remember, and asked the disciples, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? And watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Anybody here ever get tempted? Anybody here ever enter into temptation? And the gates, somebody left the gate open, which it's usually the foe, and he draws us in by our own lust. And the Bible says if you stay in a spirit of prayer, pray without ceasing, it will help give victory over theirs. You'll realize that there is a way of escape, that you may not be able to be overtaken in it. He tells us if we hide his word in our heart, we would not sin against him. So there's prayer. Listen, prayer and memorization, probably the devil will give you the greatest battle over those two things. You say, what about reading the word? That too, but that's not the greatest one. What? It doesn't matter if you read it if you're not living it, you know. So how many of us have read that we're supposed to memorize and hide God's word on our heart? But many of us aren't. How many of us understand that we're supposed to, could you not pray with me 1 hour? We know that, but many of us aren't. And so we see that one leads to temptation, the other one leads to sin. And so no wonder God wants us to do that. That's why the devil says, you can study all you want. I don't care about that. Happy are ye if you do these things. It's the doers of the word, James says, not the hearers only. So here we are, lesson 12. We have 14 in this third session on cultivating daily delight. Again, I don't ever have an issue, and I'm speaking honestly, I don't ever have an issue getting up in the morning, getting my cup of coffee, and doing my devotion. I do quite a few different ones at one time, as a matter of fact, from just reading the scriptures to whatever. But if I'm going to not neglect something, it's going to be the prayer. And the Lord always reminds me, well, who in the church are you going to miss today? Who are you not going to pray for? Because we have a directory for prayer, right? And so if I didn't pray today, who would I have missed? Well, we all have staggered prayer requests. So it's one of those things like, okay, Kevin, don't pray. But understand, you can go out through the day and do all you want, but you didn't take time to pray for those that are on your list. And Samuel tells us, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Man, we get entangled in a lot of these things. So we see again that that is an area that prayer leads into. If I don't pray, I don't pray my part of the globe. What's happening? What is happening? Let me back up and rephrase that. There are things that happen, and I believe this with my heart, there are things that happen when we pray that won't happen when you don't. God is wanting us to pray and to seek him in these areas. So in this Matthew 26 setting, when Jesus talks about that, he was talking about sleeping disciples. They were asleep. And sometimes we are spiritually asleep. Matter of fact, Isaiah had to come to the people in his day and say, awake, awake, you know, you that sleep on. And he talks about awaking to righteousness. So in this study here tonight, we're going into this 11th of 12 steps. We began with the first step was in your prayer time of praise. Next week, we're going to end with the 12th step with praise. We praise him for who he is in the first area. The second one, we'll praise him for what he's done in your prayer time. So you begin with praise, which is scriptural, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And we'll close out with praise as we go back out of our prayer closet. Here's your first blank, step number 11. This is a step that doesn't seem like it would fit in here. And it's the word listening. Listening. We have talked about a variety of steps in our prayer. Of the ones we've covered up to this point, we've talked about waiting in prayer. And waiting is simply defined as to remain inactive until something expected happens. David said in Psalm 5, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, unto my God. Unto thee will I pray, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning shall I direct my prayer. And then it says, unto thee and will look up. There was an expectation. There was a waiting for the answer. I know that I'm praying your will, so I can expect God's will to be done. So there's that one that's kind of related. Waiting's kind of related to listening. We talked about meditating. It's literally to engage in thought. Remember, we talked about how the cow eats grass, takes it down, brings it back up and gets every nutrient out of it. That's what meditation is. You're pondering over the thought there, ruminating, if you would, like a cow. And then tonight is listen or listening, and it means to give attention to with the ear. The basic definition here you have here is the act of divine communication, the act of divine communion. The word communion, communication has the word communion or commune in it. They're one in the same. It's an act of divine communication. Do you believe that God hears your prayers? Which is an amazing thing, number one, amen. And we know that because, O thou that hearest prayer, right? He's a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. So we understand that. Do you believe he wants to give you leading and guiding, and he wants to speak to you? How does God speak to us? Through his word. Huh? Scriptures. And understand, when you look at the word Word in Scripture, a lot of times you'll find that it has two. You have Logos, which is the general Scriptures, and then you have one that's called R-H-E-M-A, Rhema, or Rhema. Rhemas are ones that God gives you personally. How many of y'all have personal verses? God will give you a personal, you can pray a specific thing, and then you can look up a passage of Scripture and go, wow, that's what I need. He's given you a Rhema. A personal application for what you're praying. So God does that. So he speaks that. But do you all still think, do you just think by any chance that God may still speak to you audibly? Now, remember, we're Baptists. Do you think that there's still that still small voice? Yeah, absolutely. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Then that means that you've never experienced it. When God moves in your heart, and by the way, the only time he's going to do that, when you have come to a different level of intimacy, communication with him, as he puts it, draw nigh to me. Get really close to me. The closer you get to me, the closer I'll get to you. You see, you and I are only as close to God as we want to be. He always wants us to get closer. He always wants us to scoot over more. I remember praying one day, and I got done praying, and I was just thinking on different things, and I thought of how many of us has nothing to do with our salvation. We're saved and we're in Christ. How many of us are dissatisfied with our relationship with Christ? And I began to think about that. How many of us are dissatisfied with our relationship with Christ, or I should say our fellowship? Our relationship is sonship, that doesn't change, but your intimacy with Christ. And I thought, everybody would say, I'm kind of disappointed with my intimacy with Christ. But then I start thinking, but how many of us are content to do nothing about it still? So how many of us are dissatisfied with where we are with Christ, but we're not going to do anything to change it? We're content with that. Which is kind of a strange thing. We are not spending more time in prayer. We're not spending more time in memorization, which means we can't spend more time in meditation because we're meditating on the Word. And we're taking it to Him in prayer. So we have this act of divine communication is what God's want. It's an action focus. It's supernatural guidance. Supernatural guidance. That's your next blank. He says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need guidance. Amen. I need guidance to know what I'm supposed to bring for preaching. I need guidance for decisions that lay ahead of me. I need guidance for, and you can go on and on and on, just daily activity. The key word here in your blank is revelation. Revelation. We know that the word revelation comes from the word to reveal. When John wrote the book of Revelation, he was pulling back and he was revealing things that nobody had ever heard or seen. That means, think about this. This is what I was thinking on this week for me. Thinking about prayer, we're in this 11th step. The 11th step is listen. Be listening. In your prayer time, take time to listen. If I'm taking time to listen, that means I'm expecting God to reveal Himself to me. And that got me to thinking, most of us, when we pray, and I'm not saying everyone, many enter the mindset of prayer that it is me talking to God. And when I read the Bible, it's God talking to me. And that's the extent. That means that prayer is, by many Christians, viewed as a monologue. For those of you who are old enough, you would remember a guy named Carson. Johnny Carson had a show for decades. And Johnny Carson, the moment he would come on stage, he would do what they called a monologue. A monologue is him just telling jokes. That was his monologue. But the monologue is he was the only one talking. Everybody else was listening. And a lot of times we think that's what prayer is. It's just me, God. I'm talking to you. Now listen. And yet I realize, add this one point here of listening or waiting or meditating, all three of those are kind of very close knit. It goes from a monologue, we take and change our perspective. This is not, me coming to God in prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. I should be listening to hear back from Him, and He can talk to me while I'm in prayer. Man, I tell you, there's been times when I have been praying and God will bring up a passage of Scripture that fits what I need for a decision that I'm making. Or lately, He's been bringing up verses to me that are confirming things. He brings a confirmation. And when you have a confirmation from God through prayer, because you're listening, that confirmation brings about a peace that the Bible says will pass all understanding. Look what Andrew Murray, and by the way, we still got some books on Andrew Murray if anybody's interested. I think I got three or four left on With Christ in the School of Prayer, which is what triggered Dick Eastman to write the book, The Hour That Changed the World, which caused to trigger this whole study on prayer. And Andrew Murray wrote this, prayer is not a soliloquy. Now, that's a word you don't hear very often. And I knew what it was, but I wanted to look up the dictionary so I could find out. It's an utterance or a discourse spoken to oneself. It's the monologue. Monologue, they're one and the same. It's just one person speaking. And look what Andrew Murray, this, if anybody knew prayer, it was Andrew Murray. He says prayer is not a soliloquy. It's not a monologue. We are where everything comes from one side. But it's a dialogue where God's child listens to what the Father says and replies to it and then asks for the things he needs. Watch this here. Listening to God's voice is the secret of the assurance that he will listen to mine. Just think about this. Let me throw this out here for you. What if God says, which God does say this, I will measure to you what you measure to me. You want me to hear you, and I will listen to you at the same level that you listen to me. When you read my word and you don't do it, and or you do it, whatever you do, that's what I'm going to do to you. How would you like that? It would change everything, wouldn't it? We're talking about in prayer, part of that prayer time. Part of that prayer time. That time that we have in prayer, it's not just one, what you think of prayer being one single act, and we see that we have broken it down where we can see that it's more than just one. It's a variety of things that are involved in that time of prayer. But here, this is the act of listening to the Lord, even in this prayer time. The Bible says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. It's interesting, the word in the New Testament for swift, it is a Greek word, and is T-A-C-H-O-S, tachos. We get our English word tachometer on a car. He says, I want you, Kevin, to be swift to hear. Come into this prayer time. I want you to be with me in prayer, but I want you to come in listening and talking, but listening. Be swift to hear. Slow.
Biblical basis here. Well, before we get into this, I want to have a couple of you turn to some verses in the Psalms. So get your Bibles ready,
and we'll start over here. Brother Don, Psalm 5, verse number 1, okay? Helen, can you find that for him? John, you're all the way in the back. Psalm 9, verse 1. Then we'll jump up. Glenn, Psalm 55, 1. Carl, 64, 1. David, you want one? 76, 1. Paul, 79, 1. Ray, 120, verse 1. And then Tim, 78, verse 1. So let's start right here with Don, nice and loud, Psalm 5, 1, just verse 1. Listen very closely at the beginning words.
Say, don't preach.
Don't preach, just read.
Give ear to my words, O Lord.
Stop. Did you hear what he said? The psalmist is starting out with, give ear to my words, O Lord. Okay? Who has the next one? John.
Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, the
What verse is that?
Verse
1. What's he doing? What's the first thing that it said, John? I will what? I will praise thee, okay? Praise is a part of our prayer time, correct? So, hear me, I'm praising you. He's letting him know. God, David is talking to God. Glenn, you're next. Okay, what's the first part? Give ear to my prayers. What was yours? 55:1. Carl. There, good. They're good. That's fine. That's fine. I'm just wanting us to see a pattern here. So there's 64:1. Give ear to my voice. David. Well, I might give you the wrong one. Try 75. Okay, so what's he doing? What's he doing? He's talking to God, right? He's saying, unto thee, O God, we give thanks. So he's talking to God. All of these, I want you to see, they're either, number one, praising him, or they're asking him to hear them, or they're talking to him about something. Paul. What's 79:1 say? Oh, wait, no, you hit it right on the head. Yeah, what's he doing? He's talking to God. Oh, God. That's all I'm wanting us to see, how often David is talking to God. A lot. Right. Good. That's good. And he heard him. In his distress, he cried. Now, here's the kicker. All of these here, and you can pick these out randomly. You can look at other Psalms at the same time. 90% of them will kick off with David proclaiming something, asking God something, give ear to my words, all of these things. Psalm 78, verse 1. Stop. Stop. Did you all hear him? Psalm 78, God is speaking to Israel. He says, give ear, O my people. God will say, I've been listening to you, I've been listening to you, I've been listening to you, I've been listening to you. I have heard you, I have heard you. I want you to listen to me. And then he says, go ahead and keep talking now. You can keep coming back to me. God is very patient with us, folks. He wants to hear us. But there's times when God is going to interject, if we're listening, give ear, O my people. And if you have ever not read, or it's been a long time since you've read Psalm 78, it's a long psalm, but you ought to read that tonight before you go to bed. What was it that God said, I don't want to hear from you, David. I want you to listen to me. He says something there, and he takes him back through some history. God may have to speak to us if we're listening, because he's going to take us back in our Christian walk and walk us through history. You going to hear me? You want me to hear you? You want me to hear you? You want me to hear me? And in Psalm 78, he's showing every time that Israel did not listen to him. How many of y'all want God to hear you? You have to be listening to him. And he might just come in one time and just stop you just for a little bit and take you back through. Are you listening to me? And he reminds them. Folks, he gave us a brief history lesson in Psalm 78. Did Israel follow God very much? Murmur, complain, question, let's go back, you know. Sometimes God wants that in there just so that we'll stop. Now, here's the biblical basis here. Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 17. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That's a good thing that Paul's. How would you like to have the Apostle Paul praying for you? Well, let me tell you, you're not missing out on anything, because Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen? Now watch what he's praying. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He says, I'm praying. When was the last time you prayed for the saints? Not for their sickness, not for their health, not for their Aunt Molly's big toe, whatever it may be that's she's stubbed on the end of the bed. When was the last time you prayed like Paul to give unto you the spirit of wisdom? And look at the next word, revelation, that God would begin to reveal things to you that would bring a greater knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. I think that 21st century Christianity has not even begun to touch what the first century Christians were enjoying. Thus, when we hear, do I have to be done? Is it over? Thus, when we hear of somebody that something which we would consider as supernatural, that they are talking about it, I don't know if I believe that. Why? Because we've never tasted it. We've never experienced it. And maybe it's not a lack that they're doing things and hearing things on God giving direction and stuff to them. Is because maybe we're not what we think we are. You only get what you're putting into your Christian walk. One dear brother made mention that your Christian life is your prayer life. So whatever your prayer life is right now today, that's actually the level of your Christianity. If it's weak prayer, you're a weak Christian. If it's strong prayer, you're a strong Christian. And it doesn't depend upon how much you talk. It's that you frequently talk and spend time with him. Next page over, 62. John writes in Revelation 2:29, he that hath an ear, let him hear, look what it says, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the Spirit of God is talking to the people of God, whether through the word or through prayer. That still small voice he'll give working inside of you. You probably have heard this before, but there was a husband that was concerned about his wife's hearing. If you've heard it before, just bear with me. And so he went and was talking to the hearing doctor. He goes, I'm not here for myself. I'm here for my wife. I think she's really losing her hearing. She's denying it. He goes, well, go home and do this. And he goes, okay. He agrees. He goes in. He opens up the door of the front door real quietly. Sure enough, she's sitting on the couch. The couch is facing away from the front door. She's sitting on the couch and she's knitting just like she always does. And he closes the door real quiet. He goes, honey, I'm home. And he listens. Nothing. That's what I thought. Like the doctor said, he gets a little bit closer. Honey, I'm home. Nothing. I knew it. She's deaf. Gets right up behind her. Honey, I'm home. And she looks at him and she goes, for the third time, see ya. Was him that had the hearing problem, Brother Don. No, I didn't bring him. I'm not picking on him. I'm just... Sometimes, I'm just saying this kind of... Sometimes we think that God has a hearing problem. My prayers aren't being answered. Maybe he's not hearing me.
Not that kind.
And he reminds us really quick. He can bring up verses to us and says, by the way, if I'm not hearing you, it's not because I don't want to, but you haven't been listening to me. Thus, your sins have separated between you and your God, and they've hidden I've hidden my face from you that you can't hear. I won't hear you. Call unto me, he says. He wants us. Call unto me, and I will what? Answer. For him to answer, you have to be hearing. You have to be listening. I will answer. Rita. That's evidence that she heard me. Don, one question. Listen, one question. Okay?
I think I'm being had here.
Check out this, Exodus 19. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, how do you obey God's voice indeed. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. You're going to be what? You can't obey something if you're not listening. How many, I've used this before, how many of you have been guilty of talking with somebody, you're looking right at them, and they're talking to you, and you could not remember what you were talking about? Because your mind's off, your mind is filled with other things. And that's what happens when we go into our prayer closets a lot of times. We're going in there not to cast our cares. We're thinking about the cares that are out there still and how we're going to deal with them instead of leaving them there. So we're not hearing. Call unto me. He goes, I'll answer thee. For if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure. Understand that you and I cannot obey if we do not hear. And we can't hear if we're not listening. Thus, we must listen and wait. Numbers 23, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he, look at the next word, said, and shall not he do not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandments, to bless, and he hath blessed, I cannot reverse it. That's a whole different interesting story there that's taking place with Balaam and stuff. But he's saying, God has spoken. God is speaking, folks. Understand that. In your prayer time. J.R. Miller says, quietness in a man or in a woman is a mark of strength. Noise is not eloquence. Loudness is not power. In all the departments of life, it is the quiet forces that affect most. Therefore, if we would be strong, we must, sorry about the misspell, we must learn to be quiet. A quiet heart will give a quiet life. We need to be listening. And there's no time that it gets more quiet than when we're not talking. Brother Eastman, who has done this study on prayer, has tons of books out, and all of them have to do with prayer. One of them he has, it's called The Significance of Silence. He has another one that's called Love on Its Knees. Great books that will just, when I'm reading them, you know, when I give that illustration how somebody would talk about some great revelation that God's revealed to them and stuff. And they, yeah, how come God's doing it for them and not me? You know? You'll read about some of those things in his books. When I first started reading, I thought, I don't know. I've never seen that before or experienced that before. But I thought, as I read through his books, I said, this guy's got a handle on prayer. Who am I to question what he's declaring in the prayer life he has? I would think we'd be surprised God to reveal or bring about in revelation to us, but he just knows that we're not, maybe we're not trustworthy. I don't know what it is. We're not at that level. Christian growth many times is compared to like a maturity. Christian maturity is compared to like a bookshelf. Here's how you see it. Like you start out up here, you're born again, you're saved, you start out here, you start maturing, it says that you start down here is what it was. You start at the bottom, and you're reading and growing in the Lord, and you come up to this level of maturity, and then you come up to this level. And then when you're fully mature as a Christian, you're up here reading at this level. And they say, so you start down there, and you work your way up the bookshelf. And then one guy said, that's actually incorrect. You start up here, you start going down the bookshelf to when you're down here. When you're the lowest, that's when you're the maturest. And the disciples, in the hour that Jesus needed them the most, they were sleeping, not praying as he had asked them to. Jesus is asking us to pray. And many times we are guilty of sleeping. Here is that need, the significance of silence. He's got a great book on intercessory worship. Real quick, here's a summary of listening. It's a time, this is very simple, a time to hear. That means you, in your prayer time, you're just taking time to be quiet and listen to God. Lord, and by the way, can I say something? I know these are supposed to be like little 5 minute, and this is just an idea, a pattern. This is not legalistic. You have to spend 5 minutes, 5 minutes, five. They just kind of giving you a starting point. Like when you take new Christians, read the Bible at least for 10 minutes a day, you know, and then you, next thing it grows into something, you know. Sometimes when you're there just to listen, it may be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's one of those things where, remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel? Jacob at any point in time could have got up. He wrestled all night. He could have got up at any time. But I want you to understand something. It wasn't that the angel was holding him down. He was holding the angel down, asking for an answer. I want you to bless me. Jacob didn't quit until that angel blessed him. And then that blessing that he got from that angel, remember that angel finally touched his thigh when Jacob got up and the angel departed. And when Jacob got up, he was like this. That's how I feel right now, actually, too. Jacob sees his family as he comes up over the hill, and they see him. Jacob, what happened? You think they're going to believe him? An angel touched the hollow of my thigh when I was wrestling with him last night. Oh, that never happens to me. Because most of the time we're not willing to spend all night in prayer seeking his blessing and waiting for it until it gets there. I'm not going to let you go until you do that. And I wonder how many of us are missing out on that. And thus, when we finally understand the power and the possibility and the potential, when we get the blessing of God finally, as we've been waiting and listening, when you get up from prayer, it will have changed your walk. I'm not talking about you'll be limping, but it will change your walk when God deals with us in that level. That level, that's a different level, folks. And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, my Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. How much do you really want it? It's a time to hear. God is always speaking to those who are willing to listen. He's always ready to speak to those who are willing to listen. Edith DeVall says this, "Be still sometimes, so still that God may speak and make his voice heard in thy waiting heart. Sometimes the husk of his calm presence seek. From all the world's confusion come apart and silence even praise and breathe no prayer," but watch this, "but only wait for him to meet you there." Only wait for him to meet you there. And by the way, if we ever get to that level that these people are only writing about because they've experienced it, it doesn't just, once it arrives, stays there. It has to be maintained. It has to be maintained daily. Next page, listening. Here's the prayer application. Receive daily instruction. A.T. Pearson, who is a Bible teacher, says, "All practical power over sin and over men depends on closet communion. Those who abide in the secret place with God show themselves mighty to conquer evil and strong to work and to war for God. They are the seers who read his secrets. They know his will. They are the meek whom he guides in judgment and teaches his way. They are his prophets who speak for him to others and every forecast things to come. They watch the signs of the times and discover his tokens and reads his signals. It sounds to me, in short, that Brother Pearson is saying that they are doing this. They got a pulse on God. They know what's going on. The listening life application, develop a listener's spirit. So when I first started and got into this lesson, I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. I don't know. If I didn't give handouts, I might have jumped over it, but you guys had the handouts, so I got to teach it. The more I studied it, the more I got into it. And the more I got into it, the more I was convicted. On the next page, 64, you have your chart there where we started out with praise, went to waiting. Each one of those has a verse. Praise has recognized God's nature. Silent soul surrender. Number two, number three is confession. We know that. Psalm 139, search me, O God. That Psalm 139 should follow 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That should be the first part of our confession. After you confess everything that comes to your mind, then you say Psalm 139, now, that's what I know, Lord. Search me and know my heart and see if there's anything else in there. And then be quiet. And the Holy Spirit loves you so much that he will bring up the little bits of leaven in your life. And so, this right here is what's causing you to have some severe problems, though you keep just shoving it as if it's nothing there, Kevin. That's another part of your prayer time. Confession, followed by praying. Take a passage of Scripture and pray it back to God. Take that passage that Paul was praying for the saints there, we saw earlier, praying for them to have that revelation of the knowledge of his will. Take that and read it back to God. Lord, this is what Paul prayed. I pray this for our church. Watching. Develop a holy alertness. What could you not watch and pray? Intercession. Remembering the world, your world prayer map. Petition, sharing your personal needs. I want you to understand, this is not the look of the average Christian's prayer cycle. Usually our prayer cycle is number 7. And we pray then after number 7, number 7. And then we pray after number 7, number 7. And then we get up and leave. Am I close? And then, because of our petitions, we offer thanksgiving, because we are supposed to thank him in advance. If we know it's his will, we can thank him in advance, and it's not arrogance, it's confidence. And then there's singing, having some time of singing. Have a hymnal or there. Meditation, bring up some scripture and just think on it, and just thank God for it. And then today is listening, which will be followed by praise. And listening here is Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and you upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Wow. There's caution tape up here, it sounds like. What's next? On step number 11, in the listening time of prayer, do not hesitate to ask God for specific questions about difficult problems or situations, and then listen. Search Scripture down the road for specific answers to your questions that you had during that time. Matter of fact, if you have your reading, I have my reading time before my prayer time, and sometimes the things that I'm needing in my prayer time has come because I have already read it prior. And he'll say, that's my timing here. Mentally evaluate your circumstances. Be prepared, number 4, to write down any ideas God may share concerning the details of your situation. keep a pen and paper close by in your prayer time. God may bring something, and it might be, it's not like, oh, pay attention, you're supposed to be praying. No, God gave me this thought right here for, write it down. You take notes, a lot of Christians take notes during preaching, right? Teaching. Take notes in your prayer time if God's speaking to you. If he's not speaking to you, you won't need one. But you better, he is. Prayer points down at the very bottom. A wonderful and meaningful prayer exercises to be quiet and to listen to see if God will speak into our hearts with a still small voice. Take time to listen to see what God may impress upon your heart during this time of prayer. If you are in a small group, then end your time of prayer by praying back to God what you heard. Lord, show me something that's on your heart. Did you hear what I just said? Lord, show me something that's on your heart that you want me to have on my heart to pray back to you. Does that make any sense? That is praying the will of God. So many times we're asking God to just get in and help us in our little life. And we, what does God want? Lord, what do you want me to pray about? What's on your heart today, God? I'm going to take time and I'm just going to be quiet and I'm going to listen and I'm going to stay here until you bring something that's on your heart today. Have to stay up all night. Jacob. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 18, David said this, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." There are wondrous things, things that will cause you to wonder. And I'm not like, I don't understand. No, it's wonder things that I, it's going to be so incredible when we see him, amen? But you know what? I think we as believers, a lot of times are missing out on what he wants to do for us now, what he wants to say to us now. Our Father, we come before thee this evening. We ask, Father, that you'll bless this time as we close this study out. I ask, Father, that you would take and help us to see this lesson, and it would be more than just getting stirred right now. But that we would take this with us. Even in your word, you tell us in the book of James how blessed the man is that looks into the perfect law of liberty, looks into the mirror of your word, and continueth therein. Help us not to be forgetful hearers. Lord, there's a level of Christianity that Paul reached that most don't, especially in our day and age. Lord, help us hunger and thirst for you, for your kingdom, for your righteousness. Help us to be willing to pay the price. You paid the price for us. You have bought us with a price, and we are to glorify you, you said, in our bodies and in our spirits, which are yours. Take us to another level, Lord, one that we cannot even begin to fathom. And may it begin even tonight when we go home and take time just to bend a knee and just say, Lord, I don't have anything to ask you for tonight. Is there anything on your heart that you want to speak to me about? I'm going to take time and I'm just going to listen. And may you speak, dear Father, to us in your still small voice, something that you desire in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.